When was the last time you went for a completely different kind of walk? Maybe walking in a different place, walking through deep snow, going on a guided tour, something out of the ordinary. Did you feel any different afterwards? Better? Think more clearly? How do you think it would change you to walk differently each week for a year? Our guest has been doing that and has some suggestions to help us out. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. In a bit, we're going to talk about the walkability of Wisconsin communities. Are there places to walk to where you live? Do you have to drive to go for a walk? Tell us about it. Tell us how walkable your local area is at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Annabelle Streets is the author of multiple fiction and nonfiction books, including The Age Well Project and The Joyce Girl. Her latest book, out later this month, is called 52 Ways to Walk, The Surprising Science of Walking for Wellness and Joy, One Week at a Time. I talked with her earlier today. You talk in your book about when walking became such a big interest for you after a lot of driving and sitting. Can you tell us what sparked your love of walking?
Well, it started really with some very, very bad backache, which I think is really common now. If you're spending your day sitting, lots of people are getting very bad lower back pain. And mine became so bad that I could actually hardly walk. So it sort of became a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. So the only thing I could do really was to walk. I tried every sort of treatment. Nothing worked. And in the end, I was told just to walk more, and I started walking all the time. Journeys I had done by car that I thought, needed a car, I started walking them to sort my back out. And I realized I had all these epiphanies, and I realized that all these journeys that I thought required a car didn't require a car at all. They were often 5 minutes away or 10 minutes away. And often I found that when I was going somewhere on foot, it was actually quicker than by the time I'd, found my car keys and then gone and got the car started and then maneuvered out of the parking space and then tried to find another parking space. And all in all, walking seemed to be much simpler and faster, and it cured my backache.
It cured your backache, but you found, as you did this walking project, you found more than health benefits. Can you talk about some of the other things you gained by walking much more than you had?
Yeah. Oh, so many benefits. I mean, one of the very simple things that perhaps doesn't occur to most of us: I met my neighbors. I discovered everyone in my street. So before, I had literally walked out of my front door and got straight in the car, and I didn't really see anyone. Suddenly I was walking up and down, and I was chatting to people in front gardens and saying hi as people brought their bins out. And so I started to know my community in a completely different way. So that was something that I just hadn't anticipated at all. And I found from that, just starting the day with a little bit of chit chat, or a bit of banter, if you like, or just smiling and saying hello to people that all of a sudden I knew, although I had lived next door to them rather embarrassingly for a very long time, that also made me feel much happier. It's just a really cheerful way to start your day, is to walk out of your front door and smile and say hello to two or three people. I then progressed. I started smiling and saying hello to people I didn't know. So anyone passing the street, I would smile and say, good morning. And 9 times out of 10, they replied to me with quite a lot of enthusiasm. And I thought, gosh, you people really, we need this. We need this interaction. We need this social communication. And so that was another revelation. And then there were just lots and lots of revelations. I started looking around and looking at the architecture and looking at the plant life and hearing birds. So I suddenly felt as though I was living in a completely different city.
We're talking to Annabelle Streets about her new book, 52 Ways to Walk, The Surprising Science of Walking for Wellness and Joy, One Week at a Time. Annabelle, the heart of your book is these 52 different ways, things to think about while we're walking. And it's like you were thinking about Wisconsin in February here. Your first chapter is about walking in the cold. Why did you start there?
Well, when I discovered this, you know, this sudden passion for walking, I also discovered that a lot of people didn't want to walk with me in certain weather conditions. So whenever I had, you know, a walk booked with a friend or a member of my family, and we would agree, you know, let's go for a little walk at 9 o'clock, they would call me and say, oh, it's raining. You know, I don't think I can come out in the rain. And I thought, this is just so strange. Or, you know, it's too cold for me, or it's too dark, or, you know, there were so many reasons. Oh, I've just eaten a meal. I don't think I can go for a walk. So I just thought, you know, what if all of these reasons, these excuses that people are giving me, what if they are all actually a reason to walk? So I just started, you know, as you do, sitting on my laptop and drilling down into lots of different medical studies and research reports, and it's all there. There's a lot of universities doing a lot of really interesting work, and it's not widely known about. So I stumbled across lots of reports showing what happens to us when we walk in the cold, what happens to us when we walk in the rain, what happens when we're out in the snow, what happens when we're out in the dark, and how these tiny little, well, sometimes tiny, sometimes large changes in weather can change things physiologically in our body. And also they can change our mood. So I'll give you a really simple example. I'm sitting here now in the dark. I'm about to go for a walk. I always go for a walk in the evening. So going out in the dark actually helps us to release melatonin, which then helps us to sleep better at night.
Fantastic.
So that was another thing I'm really enjoying now is my night walks, my evening walks.
Now, another thing I never really thought of, this is early in the book, to improve our gait, our walking style. And, you know, when I walk, I guess I just walk, and my shoe wear shows me that I walk kind of weird, but I never really thought about walking better. How do we analyze our own walking style to get, I don't know, to make our walking better?
Well, you can work with a walking coach, and there are quite a few on YouTube. So I just discovered I discovered two people, actually, one woman on YouTube and another woman. I just met her walking in the park, and she said to me, I'm a walking coach. She said, I'll just sort your walking out. And I was a bit like, but I'm, you know, we can all walk. And she said, oh, no, we're not all walking properly, and that can damage us. It can make walking feel much less comfortable. So as she pointed out, you know, if you really want to fall in love with walking, it has to feel really easy and really natural. And so she worked with me, showing me how to, you know, literally how to roll through my foot, how to put my foot down and roll through it using all of my toes, not just, you know, not just, I was a bit pigeon-toed, so I sort of turned my feet turned in. And then she showed me how to move my arms and how to hold my head up and how to work on my posture so that my lower back was completely supported and my abdominals were working and all of these things that I'd never thought about. And the other really interesting thing was, because we're all spending, particularly during the pandemic, we're spending so much time at home, you know, folded over laptops, you're hunched, and we're not sitting properly, and our lighting's not correct, and we're not working with the right PCs, you're on laptops, so they're all at the wrong height. When you stand up after a day on your laptop, your posture is completely skewed, you know, your head is shoved forward, your shoulders are rounded. So to walk out straight into the street and have a walk like that is not particularly good for you. You need to sort of shuffle out of that posture and realign yourself and then start walking, if that makes sense.
Sure. Now, another thing I love, and this comes up in a lot of your chapters, a lot of your weeks of walking, paying attention to our senses and what we're detecting. And that could be sight and sound and even smell. How do we how do we get out of that mindset of like, okay, I'm walking from point A to point B and not really paying attention to what's in between?
Well, I suppose the first thing is I would pick off one sense at a time, because to walk out and think, right, I'm going to really focus on what I can hear and what I can see and what I can smell and what I can touch is a bit too much. So a really easy one to start with is to focus on smelling, because one of the things we need to think about when we walk is also how we breathe. So it's quite nice that you can combine the two. You can think about your breathing, and as you are breathing through your nose, please, as you're breathing through your nose, you can also concentrate on the smells that are coming in. Now, obviously, this is much nicer to do really when you're in the country or you're by the sea. It's not quite so perfect in a city, but there are still lots of really interesting smells. So I found a woman, a doctor, she's a doctor of I call her a doctor of smells. I'm not sure she would call herself that. And she said, I'm going to take you on a guided smell walk. And like you at that stage, I was thinking, smell, what? And so we went round. She took me to a city I didn't know. And we walked around, and sometimes she blindfolded me. She said, it's really important that you stop, you know, you stop looking sometimes and you just close your eyes and even put your hands in your ears and just smell. And so together we went round and we put our noses into dustbins and pizza shops and coffee shops and cake shops. And we just focused on smelling. And it was an absolute revelation. And now wherever I walk, I'm always stopping and just, you know, really, really trying to smell in the way that a perfumier would smell. They use a special little technique of sort of doing multiple little sniffs. And so I will quite often use that, particularly if I'm walking near something that I think might have some smell. And rain is fantastic. Rain releases a lot of scent and perfume that you can't smell normally. So if you go out when it's raining, or even better, immediately after a downpour, you will find a whole new world of scent that you might not have noticed if you stayed in your house.
That's some great inspiration for our next walk. Annabelle, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Annabelle Streets, author of 52 Ways to Walk, The Surprising Science of Walking for Wellness and Joy One Week at a Time. I talked to her earlier today. Next, we'll hear from a researcher with an appetite for visiting rural Wisconsin communities for a look at the walkability of downtown areas around the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Where you live, is it a good place to walk? Are there places to walk to from your front door? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We just heard about the benefits of walking and how to shake up our walking routines. Now we'll head to communities around the state to find out how walkable they are. Our next guest looked at walkability scores for communities in Wisconsin, found that a lot of smaller towns and cities have good downtowns for walking. How's yours? 800-642-1234. What is your favorite downtown, whether that's a big city or small town in the state, to go for a walk in, whether it's yours or somebody else's? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Is there good walking where you are? John Johnson is a research fellow at Marquette University's Lubar Center. He wrote about his findings for the Marquette University Law School faculty blog. John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
What goes into this Walk Score website that you pulled some of this data from?
Yeah, Walk Score is a website that's been around for a while. You can punch in an address or sort of specify just the downtown of a particular place, and it'll pull together a score from 0 to 100 based on the number of things that you can walk to, like daily conveniences like grocery stores, bars, restaurants, parks. It uses the things that are put onto Google Maps, which at this point covers most of the country pretty well.
You found in your results that a lot of communities around the state in rural areas, smaller towns and cities did pretty well on this. What kind of things did you see?
Yeah, this was what inspired the project originally for me, is that when I'm traveling around the state going through small towns, similar to the ones that I grew up in, I recognize that many of them have these old downtowns that still have businesses thriving in them. And in some cases, they still have stores like grocery stores near the center of the town as well. And it turns out that if you look at towns with populations between 2 and 15,000, if that town is in a metropolitan area, so probably a suburb, its average walk score is 48. But if you look in micropolitan areas and rural areas, the average score is 59. And some communities are significantly higher than even that.
And you looked at the history of that, and some of it depends on when a downtown was designed.
It pretty much all comes down to that. If a town was built before the car was the dominant way that people got around, things had to be much closer together. Whereas most of our suburbs were built after the car became the dominant way of getting from point A to point B. And so they're designed with that in mind. Some of them don't even have sidewalks. You see the same thing in old cities like Milwaukee, where the neighborhoods close to downtown have a mixture of mansions and cottages near each other because both the factory managers and workers needed to be able to walk to work. Then beyond that, you run into the streetcar neighborhoods, and beyond that, the first of the car neighborhoods. And we see the same thing in small towns around the state, where the size of the lots and the location of homes to businesses, all of those density factors depend on when the town was built.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. We've got a report from Superior with Jeff. Jeff, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I got to tell you, a couple years ago, I started walking to and from work every day, and I topped out at 270, and now I'm down to about 220. So I've lost a few pounds, but I'm so grateful for the city of Superior because they focus on the Millennium Trail and Osage Trail. A lot of people are out walking routinely, but my favorite place to walk is Patterson State Park. You can go from the largest waterfall in Wisconsin to Little Manitou Falls. It's a 2-mile round trip. A nice place to walk any time of year.
And Jeff, can I ask, how long is your commute to work when you're walking?
About a half mile. So it's about a mile a day.
That's awesome.
All kinds of weather. So, yeah.
Jeff, thanks a lot for sharing that. The idea, I mean, this may sound like a fantasy life, John, the notion that somebody can live close enough to their work to walk to it.
Yeah. So, downtown Superior has a walk score of 68, which means that it's about the 75th best city downtowns of a city for walking in Wisconsin out of 600 communities, which I measured. So pretty good.
Jeff, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. John, what is at the top of the list?
Well, downtown Milwaukee is at the very top. That's probably not a surprise to most people. But the most remarkable thing to me is that the number two most walkable downtown in Wisconsin by this measure was Hayward. In northwestern Wisconsin, population about 2,800 people. I think most of us know it as where the Berkey Binder takes place every year.
What kind of things, so when you zoom in on the map in Hayward, say, what kind of things stand out to you? What sort of amenities and things that people can walk to are driving up this score?
You know, initially when I saw that they were so high, I thought, oh, sure, there's just a bunch of like seasonal ice cream parlors for tourists or something like that. But that was totally unfair of me. If you zoom in on downtown Hayward on Google Maps, if you aren't so lucky as to have been there in person, what you'll see is that if you were to draw a circle with a half mile diameter, within that circle, there's a large grocery store, a pharmacy, elementary and middle schools. There's a senior resource center, a therapist, 2 auto parts stores, a couple hardware stores, 3 thrift stores, a laundromat, a barber, and then a whole bunch of churches, parks, bars, and restaurants, all within a half mile radius of downtown Hayward.
Talking to John Johnson, research fellow at the Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center, about walkability ratings for downtowns of communities in Wisconsin, big and small, all over the state. John, this isn't just a curiosity for you. What do you think about the benefits of a walkable community, however we define it?
I think it's tremendously valuable for all the reasons that your first guest stated. You know, there's the personal health benefits, there's the community benefits from getting to know the people around you. And, you know, there's a lot of benefits in terms of how we can affect the climate better. But for me personally, I just like having the option of walking places. It's just a quality of life issue. And I think it is for many people around the state too.
Let's bring on another caller now. Buddy is with us in Marinette. Buddy, hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What city do you want to nominate for good walking?
I'd love to nominate Appleton. I've spent the last 20 years in California and San Francisco. I had the luxury of walking to my work most of the time, and got to spend last summer in Appleton, and it was just magical. Like, all along the river and along the downtown area, I really loved it.
Buddy, thanks a lot for sharing that. We've got the Fox Cities there. John, where did they tend to fall on the list of walkability?
And downtown Appleton is ranked 92 out of 100, which qualifies as walker's paradise by the walk score methodology. So your caller and the walk score methodology agree on that count.
Buddy, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. John, are there lessons here for cities and towns, local communities, given that their downtowns are already in place? The shapes are what they are. Are there lessons here in how they can, I don't know, try to make themselves more walkable?
You know, I think many small towns really understand what a treasure they have in terms of their downtowns. I'm aware of, you know, so many communities that have these economic development efforts to benefit those towns. And I think that's really important. There's a suburb here in the Milwaukee area called Oak Creek. It's a large suburb. It was mostly, most of the parts of it were built after people had their own cars. And they recently decided that they should have a downtown of their own. And so they built kind of a classic downtown square just in an empty field. It's got a park in the middle and a library in the town hall and then apartments above retail. And it's surrounded by parking lots because most people have to drive there, park, and then they can walk around and enjoy it. Oak Creek didn't have a downtown to start with. They had to build it. And so for all of these communities in the state that are thinking about how to attract new residents, I would say just value what you have, and to the extent that you can encourage new businesses to occupy existing real estate in that downtown core, I think that'll pay dividends down the road.
Do you want to leave us with some encouragement for people to go downtown in their own community and check out the walking scene?
It's something I love to do whenever I travel around Wisconsin. You never know what you're going to find. There's so many interesting and unique things and people in each town in Wisconsin, and walking is the best way to see them.
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
John Johnson is a research fellow at the Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center. He talked with us about a recent post he wrote for the law school's blog, an analysis called "Many of Wisconsin's Rural Towns Are More Walkable Than Suburbs." You could still share your favorite places in Wisconsin, your favorite downtowns in particular, for walking. Email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.